Michael Dell won his fight, so what's next?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. April may be the cruelest month, but February may be the most baffling when it comes to counting how many people have jobs in America. The government's official tally is released tomorrow. Today, investors have been left guessing, with forecasts ranging to the point of meaninglessness. On Thursdays, we consult Diane Swonk, chief economist at Mesirow Financial in Chicago. Diane, when it comes to counting employed and unemployed, February can be an odd little month.
It is an odd month. It tends to be the month where we start to see hiring up for the spring and summer, so it tends to be a big upswing month. But this month, we have everything from snow, where we don't usually have it, in places like Georgia and Washington, which shut a lot of businesses down the week of the survey. And at the same time, we are going to finally find out what happened to all those uninsured workers, those workers who lost their unemployment insurance at the end of December. Are they going to get jobs, or are they just going to drop out?
Which all makes it quite difficult to figure out what the forecast should be. But you're in that line of work, Diane. What should we expect for tomorrow's February payroll number?
I wish I actually knew. The range goes from 80,000 to 203,000. I'm on a little hotter end of that, 185,000 with a 6.5% unemployment rate. But at this point in time, it's like throwing dart at a board, and I'm not the best target hitter on this one.
Let me get this straight. Some of these experts are guessing maybe 80,000. Others are above 200,000?
Yeah, that's a really big span, and that really underscores how much uncertainty we have about what happens when it snows along the eastern seaboard in the month of February. Nobody knows.
All right, we can remedy this when the actual numbers come out tomorrow. Diane Swonk at Mesirow Financial, thank you.
Thank you.
As the digirati descend on Austin, Texas for the interactive part of the South by Southwest Festival of Interactive Film and Music, I want to check in with a noted Austin area entrepreneur who will be speaking at the gathering. Michael Dell is the founder and CEO of the eponymous firm that once did a brisk business selling personal computers. When people stopped buying so many PCs, Dell ran into trouble, and to give him the leeway to make big changes, Mr. Dell had to fight activist shareholders tooth and nail to turn the public company private. I spoke to him from Dell headquarters outside of Austin. Michael Dell, thanks for joining us.
Good to be with you, David.
What a difference a year makes. A year ago when we spoke, it was almost like we contacted you for a battlefield interview. You were in the middle of this almost, I don't know, Shakespearean struggle, but it's over. How's it feeling now?
We won.
Congratulations.
You know, it's great to be a private company again. It gives us real freedoms to invest in our business, thinking not just about the near term, but also about the medium and the long term. And we're investing in all of the things that matter to our customers, all this data that people are starting to monetize, what people are calling big data, the cloud, while we continue our leadership in the infrastructure business. And as a private company, we have a lot of freedoms that we didn't have before.
Everyone else I ask talks about the Internet of Everything, in which everything is connected to an IP address. Is that something you're tracking?
Yeah, certainly we're seeing, as part of what we call the data economy, there is a real drive to instrument all sorts of things, whether it's, you know, industrial equipment, retail stores. It could be 70 billion connected devices, let's say 10 for each person on the planet by 2020. Well, that's an enormous amount of data, and if you can translate that data into insights and better decisions and better results. Data is kind of a renewable resource that brings a tremendous amount of insight that ultimately is the fuel for competition.
Let me ask you about your team over there, your employees. I have a shelf full of business management books here about the difficulty of bringing big change to a company. Nobody says it's easy. What can you tell Dell employees worried about their jobs during this time of change? Some of them are concerned.
You know, when I started our company almost 30 years ago, it was a very different business than it is today. And if you look over that 30-year period, there have been any number of distinct transitions. So the reality is that our people are addicted to change and they embrace change. And if they don't, they probably shouldn't be at a company like this or even in an industry like this, the pace of change is accelerating, and dynamic companies are the ones that evolve and change with it.
I've tried to study entrepreneurs over the years, and one feature of many, how do I describe this? They have a healthy impatience. When they spot an opportunity or they want to fix something, they want to do it now. Is that you? Do you have a healthy impatience?
Yeah, I think that's a good description. Sometimes it's been called less than healthy, but I think there's a desire for improvement and kind of a hunger for change that is positive.
Michael Dell, founder and CEO of what has been for about 4 months now, the privately held technology company Dell Incorporated. Mr. Dell, thank you.
Thank you.
Marketplace Tech host Ben Johnson will be at South by Southwest watching for potentially useful new ideas, and we will be hearing from him in the coming days. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.